In Isaiah chapter 42 and beginning with verse 1, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed he shall not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein." Now we're going to be going to Matthew chapter 12 in just a moment. We're going to be beginning with verse 9. But I want to read you that section from Isaiah chapter 42 before we get into it, because the message today evolves around that prophetic word from Isaiah. You see, there were, when Christ was on the earth, those individuals who are represented in that prophetic word of Isaiah. When Christ was on the earth, there were those individuals who were bruised reeds and smoking flaxes. And the same is true today. We have bruised reeds and smoking flaxes with us today. I want you to listen carefully, because I'm hoping that those of you who are yourself a bruised reed or a smoking flax will find comfort and help as a result of this message. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 9, "And when he was departed thence, he went into the synagogue." He's just come out of a confrontation with the religious leadership of the nation. He was often in confrontation with the religious leadership of the nation. So he has just finished a confrontation. And the Word of God says in Matthew 12:9, "And when he was departed thence from them, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him," now this is the religious leadership, "saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" That they might accuse him. You see, they had already taken him to task because his disciples were pulling ears of corn as they walked through a cornfield and eating the corn. And they saw that as a violation of the Mosaic law, that you are not supposed to work on the Sabbath. They are going to consider his healing a work on the Sabbath. So they ask him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" That they might accuse him. They're always looking for a reason to accuse him. They're always looking for a reason to oppose them. So he answered them in verse 11 of Matthew 12. And he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out?" I think it was Bingay that said, quote, "Not to do good when you can do it is to do evil. And this is the worst violation of the Sabbath," unquote. What is the violation of the Sabbath? Not to do good when you can do good. Not to do good when you have the opportunity to do good. Jesus goes on, "How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored, whole like the other." All he did was obey the command of the Lord, the Word of God, the Word in the flesh. All he did was obey what Jesus told him to do. He's sitting there in the synagogue with a withered hand. And Jesus just said to him, stretch forth your hand. Four words. Stretch forth thine hand. He obeyed. He did that. And the moment he did that, the Word of God says it was restored. Whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees, now they got angry again. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Every turn he made, everything he taught, they're always confronting him, accusing him, trying to find fault with him, trying to find fault with what he said or find fault with what he did. But Jesus, when he knew it, the Word of God says, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. He's leaving Capernaum. He's going to go out into Galilee. He's going to be gone for a season. But a lot of people went with him, followed him, and he healed them all, the Word of God says. And in verse 16 of Matthew 12, he charged them that they should not make him known. He was not seeking public popularity. He was not seeking public popularity. He was not trying to exalt himself. He was a servant, son of God, God in the flesh. He is not seeking any self-exaltation. He is trying to, if you will, not draw any undue attention to himself. But the Word says he charged them that they should not make him known, that, verse 17, it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. The New Living Translation says this about that. He will not fight, or shout, or raise his voice in public. He's doing nothing, if you will, intentionally to draw attention to himself. He does what he hears the Father saying, do. He's doing what he sees the Father doing. He is simply obeying the Father. And then he goes on quoting Isaiah, which I just read to you. A bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench, till he sends forth judgment unto victory. Let's stop with a bruised reed shall he not break for a moment. What is a bruised reed? Well, it is a stalk of grain that has been damaged. It has been damaged and most likely will not produce any fruit as it is. But what the Word is saying is that these stalks of grain that have been bruised also represent human beings. And as it results, or as it relates to human beings, it speaks to those who have been wounded by Satan. It speaks to those who have been wounded and bruised and wounded in life. This world is full of people who have been wounded, who have been bruised by Satan. This world is full of people who have been bruised and wounded by any number of events, situations, and circumstances in life. I'm talking to people today. You grew up in a home that was dysfunctional. Many of you grew up in homes where divorce had occurred. Some of you never knew your mother. Some of you never knew your father. Some of you were molested as a child, as a youth, and you never even talked to anybody about it. You never told anybody that you were molested or who did it. Some of you have come through some very wrenching circumstances and situations in life. You tried this or you tried that and you failed. And Satan has beat you silly with that. Maybe you had a marriage that failed. Whatever the case may be, you see, we are surrounded by people who have been bruised and wounded from any number of events, circumstances, situations in life. Well, what the Word of God is teaching us here is that Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, the Messiah, will not himself further damage those who've already been damaged by Satan and by life. Did you hear me? Jesus is not going to further damage those who have already been damaged. Now let's just look at two or three instances from Scripture. You don't really stop sometimes and think about why did that person do what they did and what was the results attendant to what they did. For example, King David, king of Israel, himself became a bruised reed through lust. King David, the king of Israel, became a bruised reed through lust. Remember? Walked down the rooftop, saw Bathsheba. Satan whispered to him, seeded his mind. Lust became active, sent for her, went to bed with her, committed adultery with her. She got pregnant. Then he had to find a way and devise a way to get her husband killed, and he did. So now he's committed adultery. He has now had her husband killed. He is a bruised reed. Because that was affecting him. It was not till Naaman the prophet came to him and confronted him that he really came to grips with it all, but it was there. So David himself had become a bruised reed through lust. We find it, as we go through the Scriptures, we find individual after individual after individual who became a bruised reed. You take Peter. Now, Peter was chief among the apostles. He was the chief apostle. He became a bruised reed through fear and through his denial of Jesus Christ. You recall the night that Christ was arrested, how Peter firstly stood his ground, then he ran with the rest of them, and later when he was accused of being a disciple of Jesus Christ and being one of Christ Jesus, no. He cursed, he swore, he denied that he was a disciple of Christ. He became a bruised reed. You see, we come through things in life that affect us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and sometimes physically. And there are those who are bruised reeds today because they have been bruised spiritually, emotionally, even physically. And so you have to understand that what the Word of God is teaching us through the prophetic word of Isaiah is that Jesus Christ the Messiah will not further damage those who have already been damaged. You can come to Christ. You can come to Christ with all of your wounds and bruises. You can come to Christ with all of your disappointment and discouragement and pain and heartbreak and disillusionment. You can come to Christ and you can lay your head on his chest, on his shoulder, and you can confess to him, I am a bruised reed. Jesus, I am a bruised reed. And here's what bruised me. And you can even name many times, many of you can name the situation or the circumstance that you know bruised you. Was it when you were a kid? Was it as an adolescent? Was it as a young adult? Was it since you come into adulthood, maturity? What was it? You've got to be willing to acknowledge this thing impacted me. This thing impacted me emotionally or spiritually and maybe even physically. This thing impacted me. It has become a part of me. It is affecting me. It has affected me. And because it has affected me, it is infecting me in so much of my thought life, my attitudes, my reactions, my responses. It's affecting me. So we see that King David himself, King of Israel, became a bruised reed. Peter, chief among the apostles, became a bruised reed. You know, Mary Magdalene, when Christ met her, she was already a bruised reed. Now, we don't know a great deal about, we don't know anything really about her past life. We don't know what she was involved in. Was it prostitution? We don't know. But we know this, the Word of God says that Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. 7 demons. Remember there in the Mark chapter 16, verse 9, on the morning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Mary is going to hang around where she knew him last to be. She knew him to be put in that tomb. She went back to that tomb, and some other women went with her that morning. But when they didn't find him, and they thought someone had taken him and stolen the body, the other women left. Not Mary. Not Mary. She was going to hang around where she knew he last was. And that's when Jesus spoke to her. When he called her name, Mary, she recognized at that moment that this is Jesus. Now the Word of God tells us in Matthew chapter 16, verse 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first, not to Peter, not to the apostles, not to his mother, but to Mary Magdalene. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils, 7 demons. What kind of demons were they? We have no idea. The Word of God doesn't say. You can speculate all you want, but that doesn't mean it's reality. But we know this from the Word of God. She was demonized. 7 demons. And Christ cast them out. And she became whole. And as a person who was freed from the demonic influences and the demonic powers that were driving her and controlling her and influencing her life, she followed Jesus. She became one of those who supported him. She was there, ready to minister. She was a bruised reed when Jesus met her. He didn't further damage Mary. He healed Mary. He cast out those demons that were affecting her, influencing her, and driving her. The Bible is full of individuals, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, of bruised reeds. And the world today is full of bruised reeds. And I'm speaking today to bruised reeds. How do I know that? Because of the way the Lord birthed this message in my heart in the last 48 hours. Just sitting before the Lord, doing some morning devotionals, and this message starting being birthed. And I knew it was for the people who are listening today at this time. What about that Gadarene demoniac? He was a severely bruised reed. Remember when they came to the coast of Gadara? He met Jesus. This man, the Word of God tells us, lived among the tombs, out in the graveyard. No man could pass by. They had somehow, we're not told how, over the months, years, had captured him, and he had been restrained with chains and fetters. Fetters, what is that? Well, call it leg irons, wrist irons. Some way they subdued him, or he allowed them to subdue him so that he could show them his power, his strength, because chains couldn't hold him. Leg irons couldn't hold him. Wrist irons couldn't hold him. He had been restrained with those, but he had broken them. Now, as Adam Clark points out, that old scholar back in the 1700s, 1800s, this was not a disease. This was not a disease. This was demonization. This was satanic bondage. And we have people today. We have people, no doubt, listening today who yourself are in bondage. You are a bruised reed. You cannot reach your maximum potential. You have really never reached your maximum potential. And in many respects, I'm talking to some who are not only influenced, but some who are driven. And you know that you're driven. A bruised reed. A bruised reed. Jesus delivered this man. Jesus delivered this man and set him free. He returned him to his sanity. He returned him to his sanity. He drove 5,000. We're told 5,000 demons in this one man, Legion. What is your name? Legion. This man was so thoroughly, fully, completely, totally demonized, there could be no semblance whatever in his life and what it should have been until Christ set him free. And what did he want to do? Once he was set free, he wanted to go with Christ. Christ was going to leave Gadara and go back and continue his ministry in other areas. I think very possibly that it was the... We know that Jesus only did what the Father said do. I've got to believe that the Father said to the Son, Son, go across the coast there to Gadara. There's a man over there who desperately needs you. You see, you've got to understand the omniscience of God. You must come to grips with the omniscience, the sovereignty of God. You've got to come to grips with the realization that God is in control of this universe, and God can move the bits and the pieces around any way he wants to. And here was one individual over there among the Gergesenes, and I have to believe, because Jesus said, I only do what the Father says do. I only say what the Father says to say. So I've got to believe that the Father sent the Son over there for that one man in all of that community. One man who all of his life had been demonically controlled. Really had no control over his own life. Was driven, driven, driven. I'm talking to people today that some of you realize, I have never really been in control of my emotions. I have never really been in control of my life in a sense. I myself am influenced. I'm driven in such ways that I cannot be for anyone else or for God or for myself what I would like to be. But Jesus went over there. One man. One man in that entire community. You see, you are so important. If you were the only reason Christ would go to the cross, he would still go to the cross for you. You see, Christ went for the cross for each of us as individuals. And he would have went to the cross just for you if need be. I realize that's a statement that you're kind of hard to grasp a hold of, but you mean to say, Bob, that if I was the only soul in the universe that was lost without Christ, then the only way I could be reconciled to God is that Christ would in some way sacrifice himself for me? Yes. Yes. God would have sacrificed his son for you. If you were the only soul that was ever going to be saved, if God had known from the creation of the universe that you were the only individual, or if I was the only individual in the whole universe that would believe and receive his son as Lord and Savior, Christ would still have gone to the cross. That's how important you are. Christ wants your freedom more than you want your freedom. Christ wants to set you free more so than you want to be set free. Christ will not break. He will not further damage or wound that which has already been damaged or wounded. He wants to heal. He wants to bring life out of that which is hardly has any life whatever. Bruce reads, yes, they're among us today. Not only are they bruised by Satan, they're exploited by Satan. Bruised, battered, beaten by the events and affairs of life itself. Life itself has bruised them, battered them, beaten them. We can find bruised reeds in every expression of life in the world. You have bruised reeds in pulpits. You have bruised reeds in the highest levels of jurisprudence. You have bruised reeds in the highest levels of national or state government. You have bruised reeds sitting in church every week of the world, going to Mass every week of the world. You have bruised reeds. Bruised reeds can be found at every level of life in America. Bruised reeds can be found at every expression of life in America. I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that those in the LGBT movement are all themselves bruised reeds. That's right. I'll say it again. I have no doubt that those in the LGBT movement are themselves bruised reeds. And it's unfortunate that many times they found acceptance in that community before finding it in the church through Christ Jesus. And because they found acceptance in that community, they joined that community. But Christ can set the captives free. Luke 4:18. Jesus said he came to set the captives free. Now, Satan has any number of arenas in life where he has captives. Some of it is in alcoholism. Some of it is in drug addiction. Some of it is in being a pedophile. Some of it, name your own poison. In every expression of life outside of Christ, Satan has those who he has bruised, wounded, and captured. And only Christ can set them free. So the Word of God goes on and he says, a bruised reed shall he not break. He will not further damage those who have already been damaged. And smoking flax shall he not quench. What is a smoking flax? Well, as it relates to human beings, what it means is a smoking flax was a little wick in a little candle holder kind of thing about to go out, a flickering, flickering small flame of fire in a candle or a lamp about to go out. Spurgeon describes it as a little flame so weak that an infant's breath could blow it out. So we have bruised reeds in our world today, and we have smoking flax in our world today. Smoking flax, how would I define it? I would define smoking flax as those hopeless, those without hope. Without the intervention of Jesus Christ, they are facing a situation or a circumstance right now that they're without hope for the most part. They are hopeless and without hope. And unless they have some intervention by the Lord Jesus Christ, all is lost. It's lost. Listen, I'm talking to people today, right now, that are facing situations and circumstances that are extremely dark and dismal, discouraging, disappointing, dismal. And you know way down deep in your heart, unless God comes through, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes through, unless I have some kind of divine intervention in this situation, it's hopeless. It's lost. There are those situations that medical science cannot even approach. Some of you are looking at relational problems, financial problems, physical problems, professional problems, and you may not talk to anyone else about it, but you can go to Jesus, and you can just kneel down in front of Jesus, symbolically speaking, and lay your head in his lap and say, "Oh, Jesus, I'm a smoking flax. Jesus, I'm a bruised reed. I don't know where to turn from this. And quite frankly, Jesus, I'm fairly hopeless. This thing is not looking good, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned." Folks, I get prayer requests. I get prayer requests at times from people who are absolutely at their wit's end. I get prayer requests and get asked to be prayed for in situations where people say, "Look, I'm terrified. I'm scared. I don't understand this. I don't know where this is going." Smoking flaxes. You see, their hope is so low, their faith is so low, anticipation is so low, that it's just like they themselves have a little flicker of life left. What about the lame man by the pool of Bethsaida? Here was a smoking flax, if you will. In John chapter 5 and verse 2, "Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And when Jesus," now Jesus is passing by, "took note of him. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew he had now been there a long time in that case, he said, 'Would you be made whole? Would you like to be made whole?' And the impotent man said, 'Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to help me get into the pool. And while I'm trying to get down to the pool, someone else steps down in front of me.'" Interesting to me that of all the people laying there, obviously the father said to the son, "Take a look at that fellow there. 38 years he's been here, waiting for the stirring of the water, hoping to get into it. Heal him, son." Jesus looks at the man and says, "Rise up. Rise. Take up your bed and walk." And the word of God says, and immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And the same day was a Sabbath. Well, you can imagine They're going to take him to task again because he healed on the Sabbath. We know from the scriptures that Jesus later found him in the temple and told him, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. What Jesus was doing there was attaching the man's physical condition to sins of the past. Jesus was attaching the physical condition that that man was in to the sins of the past. Because Jesus said to him, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Smoking flaxes, yes, they were there when Christ was on earth then. They're here today. Remember the woman that had an issue of blood? We all know these stories. We've heard them and heard them and heard, but did you ever view her as a bruised reed? Did you ever view her as a smoking flax? Did you ever relate her to Isaiah chapter 42? Did you ever relate some of these people who are going through these situations and these circumstances? Did you ever relate them to Isaiah chapter 42? I think many times we go to the scriptures and we say, yes, I've heard that. Have we? Have we stopped to consider? I mean, this man who's been laying there for 38 years, either friends, neighbors, or family, had to transport him down to the pool in hopes that he might get into the pool when the water was troubled by the angel. 38 years. The woman with the issue of blood, the Word of God tells us that she had an issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years. She had spent everything she had upon doctors, the physicians, and couldn't be healed. There wasn't a doctor out there that could heal her. You see, you hear me say from time to time that I view all healing as divine, whether it's through a medical protocol or whether it's through just a faith protocol. Because I know that no doctor can heal me. Only God can heal me. Only Christ can heal me. Had spent everything she had seeking medical help. There wasn't a doctor in the land that could solve her issue of blood. 12 years. No relief. Is she a bruised reed? Yes. Is she a smoking flax? Yes. A flickering candle, if you will? Yes. Almost all hope was gone. Had no insurance. Had spent everything she had on the doctors. No healing. No relief. You know, when I get to the 14th chapter of Matthew, and I read of that instant when Jesus went to the Gennesaret, to the village of Gennesaret, which is in the same region there that Capernaum is in, and how people came out and begged him, can I touch the hem of your garment? And as many as touched the hem of his garment, Matthew chapter 14, were healed. And when I look at that, I think to myself, I wonder if this woman had heard about that, or was she healed and they heard about that by touching the hem of his garment? But the Word of God says that's what happened. But for whatever reason, the Word of God tells us she had said within herself, she was expressing her faith to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I am going to be healed. You recall she sneaked up behind him, reached out. That was her act of faith. Her act of faith was she reached out. She touched the hem of his garment. She was a bruised reed. She was a smoking flax. And in her last desperate moment, because she had spent everything she had on the doctors, and she knew if there's any hope for me, it's in this man, Jesus Christ. He must be the Messiah. Others have received healing. Why not me? So she reached out in faith. She expressed her faith to herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. And she did, and she was healed. A bruised reed? Absolutely. A smoking flax? Absolutely. And there are those of you today who need to understand, I'm a bruised reed. That's why I am the way I am. That is why I respond so many times the way I respond. That's the way I react so many times the way I react. I am a bruised reed. And I have no doubt, I'm speaking to some people today who not only are you a bruised reed, but you are a smoking flax. Almost hopeless. And what little hope you have is on the process of almost dying. You're like that wick in the candle that is flickering, about to go out. Can this marriage be saved? Can this relationship with my wife, my husband be restored? Can this relationship with my child, my children, be put in place? You see, many of you have tried everything you know to try to solve the problem that you're facing. Hadn't worked. Hasn't worked. And you become more and more discouraged and more disappointed. And so you are that smoking flax. We're talking about two types of people here, but yet some represent both. There are those who are bruised reeds. They're just wounded. They're just bruised. By whatever Satan has used to bruise them emotionally, spiritually, physically. So you've got those in a category all by themselves who are just simply bruised individuals, wounded by life, wounded by Satan. But then you've got this group over here who are smoking flaxes. They are practically without hope. They are practically without hope. They're up against a situation right now that bothers them, scares them, terrifies them. One in which they feel helpless. There's nothing they can do about it. Therefore, they become hopeless. Are you in either of these categories? Are you a wounded, bruised reed? Are you a smoking flax? You know, you take a child that comes from a home of bitterness and strife and division, where there was cursing and swearing and fussing and fighting and maybe physical abuse. You've got those who came from a home that was broken. Little girls grew up without a dad, unsure about how to relate to a member of the opposite sex. Little boys who grew up without a dad or a mother. You see, children get wounded and bruised early in life. And I am talking to some people today. Some of you know that you were wounded and bruised early in life, and you have tried your best to come beyond it and come over it. You've tried to ignore it. You've tried to ignore the reality of the situation, the circumstance, but it is there. And some of you are facing situations and circumstances today that require divine intervention. Requires divine intervention. So when you stop and realize, I can go to Jesus with this. I can go to Jesus with this. Someone says, Bob, I wouldn't even know how to approach Jesus. Bob, you don't know me. You don't know my circumstance. You don't know my situation. You don't know my background. You don't know my past. You don't know anything about me, Bob. Jesus does. He knows the hairs on your head. He marks the falling of a sparrow from the sky. Jesus knows everything that's ever touched your life. And Jesus knows how it affected you. Jesus knows what wounded the reed, the stalk, the man, the woman. And some of you are going to work every day. How are you doing? Fine, fine, thank you, fine. And the truth of the matter is that you don't feel comfortable in sharing with them the hurt and the pain and the hopelessness and the sense of helplessness that you are harboring. You know, there are things that you won't discuss with anybody else, but you can take them to Jesus, and you can talk to Jesus, and he'll never tell anyone else. Not only will he not add damage to those of you who are already damaged, he knows the faintness of the flicker of light, of hope in your life. He knows that. He understands that. You know, the Word of God tells us, as I start moving towards closing out this on the smoking flax, in Luke chapter 7, verse 11, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people." Verse 12, Luke 7. "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her." They're on the way out to the cemetery. They're going out to bury this widow's son. He's dead. She's a widow. Her son, perhaps, had been her only means of support. This son could have been her only means of support. And now he's died. And she is in the entourage, the funeral profession, taking him out to the cemetery. And Jesus, the Word of God says, he comes to the gate. He come near the gate of the city. And when the Lord saw her, he saw this widow weeping, maybe convulsively weeping. He had compassion on her. He had compassion. It was love that sent him to the cross. It was my sin and your sin, for those of us who have been born again, and his love for sinners, regardless of the kind of sin, they sent him to the cross. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. He had compassion on her and said to her, "Weep not. Don't cry. Don't be upset. Don't be brokenhearted." And he came and touched the bier, that which they carried her dead son home. He came over and just touched it. And those transporting the body stopped and stood still. They didn't know what was going on, but they recognized something is going on here. They didn't try to get him to take his hands off. No, no. They stood still, the Word of God says. They stood still, and Jesus only touched. Nothing says he touched the man, the corpse. He touched that which was being transported on. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." This widow was a smoking flax. I can promise you, way down deep in her spirit and her heart, she was hurting bad. And some of you today are hurting. Some of you are hurting. Listen, I just sat before the Lord, and this thing started birthing. And I knew I had to get it preached. And I'm doing this because I want you to understand that he understands. and you can go to him. And he is not going to further damage that which has already been damaged, and he is not going to snuff out, if you will, that little flicker of flame of hope that is birthed in your spirit. He's not going to quench that. The Word of God says he will not break a bruised reed. He will not quench a smoking flax. He's not going to damage that further which has already been damaged by life and by Satan. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring healing emotionally, spiritually, and yes, physically. I'm a firm believer in that. Whatever means or method he chooses to use, he can use it. He's God. And he came and touched the bier, that which they were carrying the dead body on. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up. He that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. The indication to me there is that he said, Come off that funeral transport, son, and took him over to his mother. And said, Here's your son. That smoking flax, that flame that was flickering, she must have been thinking, why me, Lord? Why me, God? First my husband, and now my son, the only member of my family that's left that can support me. Why me, God? Why is this happening to me? And Jesus takes him over to his mother and gave him to his mother. He delivered him to his mother. You see, there are those listening today, you yourself are a smoking flax. Your hope, your faith is a flickering candle. You desperately need the intervention of Jesus Christ. You desperately, desperately need a move of God in your circumstance and in your situation. I wonder if you'd be willing to pray right now. No soft music, no nothing. Would you be willing to say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm a bruised reed. Jesus, I'm a bruised reed. Have you got the courage and the willingness to say that to Jesus? To acknowledge that you are a bruised reed? In how many ways? I don't know. In how many ways you have been bruised and battered and beaten and by life? I don't know. And satanically? I don't know. But are you willing to say to Jesus, I'm a bruised reed, and I need your touch. I need your touch. I wonder if others of you would be willing to say, Jesus, I'm a smoking flax. I am a smoking flax. I'm just a flickering candle. My faith, my hope, is flickering to the point that it is almost extinguished. It's about to go out, Jesus. I need encouragement. I need your touch. I need your comfort, Jesus. I need that which only you can give. Would you be willing to pray that? Jesus, I'm a bruised reed. Jesus, I'm a smoking flax. Touch me, I pray. Bring me the comfort, the relief that only you can give. Heavenly Father, Lord, I have delivered unto these that which I felt you would have me deliver unto them. And I don't want any flesh in it, Father. I don't want any flesh whatever in it. I want it to be spirit anointed, spirit directed, spirit led, and used by you, Holy Spirit, to bring glory to the Father, to bring glory to the Son. And, Father, right now in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, I bless every bruised reed. I bless every smoking flax that is listening to and hears this message. In the name of Christ Jesus, I bless them, and I pray, Father God, that in this moment, in this hour, in this day, that you will let comfort and hope and peace rise up. I pray, Father God, that you will do what only you can do. Jesus, only you can set the captives free. Jesus, only you can heal the wounds and the bruises in the spirit, the soul, the mind. Only you, Jesus, can bring the comfort, the peace, the faith, the encouragement that is needed by these smoking flaxes. Only you, Jesus. And they need it. We all need it. And I'm asking you, Father God, to do this to the end that you are glorified, that souls are encouraged, that comfort is given, that relief is given, that peace comes, and that prayers are answered. And I ask you to do this to your glory, your honor, and your praise. And this I ask in Christ Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.